The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Well, last week we began a new sermon series here at Mountford. I got to remember not to go too far away. A new sermon series on growth, and not just visible or measurable growth by the standards of our world, but the more important growth, sometimes unseen, but seen to the ways of the kingdom, the growth that happens in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit, by the transformation of God's work in our lives. And Pastor Paul asked me if I'd preach this morning on growth in Scripture, and gave me the passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. I'm excited to share with you this morning. You can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 if you want. Just put your finger in it for a moment. Paul, the Apostle Paul, has a follower named Timothy, and he's trying to encourage Timothy as Timothy is in ministry now and serving and helping to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And Timothy is really young in his ministry compared especially to Paul. And so Paul wants to strengthen Timothy's resolve in the face of struggles. And not only does he want Timothy to feel encouraged for his own sake, but as he says in his writing, that Timothy would entrust this message with faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Which is an important reminder as we begin this morning that we're not growing for our own sake. We grow also for the sake of those coming after us. We grow for the sake of sharing this message with others who might share it with others, who might share it with others, both in spreading out and in spreading down the line generationally. This is so much bigger than us here and now in these moments. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy, and in the midst of all the things he's saying to Timothy to encourage him, but also to be honest with him, Paul shares these words from our passage this morning. This is chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. Paul says, "Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my suffering, the things that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you've known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." Now, so many times we take this entire passage of Scripture and reduce it down to a single phrase that we take out of context, and we say, which is a great phrase to say, but we say things like, "All Scripture is inspired by God." Literally, God breathed, theopneustos, meaning God's spirit or breath is indwelt, is useful for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness, as if that's the valuable thing Paul is saying here. We often hear this phrase when we feel like a verse or a concept from Scripture or a story is being threatened by an issue or by a person or by a conversation, and we want to firmly defend the Scripture and say, "Yeah, but the Bible says this." We hold it up as if this one phrase makes every individual verse in the Bible something that contains the entire gospel itself, as if each verse could unlock all the mysteries of God. But the word for "all" in this verse does not seem to mean each individual verse of the Bible on its own and in solidarity, by itself. in solo. It doesn't take us long to figure out that there are single verses of the Bible that don't seem to contain or point to the full gospel of Jesus Christ. The word here is all. It means all as in the entirety, the whole, the entire collection of holy writings. So all the scripture is useful for, now notice, it doesn't say is useful for content for our Facebook posts or for a really good meme or for something that's retweetable, right? Which is somehow the extent we give it sometimes. It says the whole of scripture. And now it's important for us to remember, when Paul says the whole of scripture to Timothy, it doesn't even talk about much of what we would call the New Testament by this point, because it hadn't even been canonized or even written much yet. All of the whole of scripture is useful. Why? And here is where we usually focus on the words that I've already spoken about. It is useful for teaching, correct, all that. But the verse just ahead of this statement by Paul says this: from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That is foundational. So, but wait a minute. If the holy scriptures that Timothy has known since childhood don't include any of the New Testament, how are they able to instruct him for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus? And I believe that's the important foundation of our message this morning, that it has to do with a living theology. The way we approach the Word of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, whom we have access to because of Jesus, who stands with the Father right now. A living theology is important because we know that simply a belief or an agreement with a fundamental truth isn't what leads to transformation or new creation life. To put it another way, reading the Bible on a regular basis is really, really important. Hugely important. We need scripture the way we need water or oxygen or food. If we're not spending regular time in the Word of God, we will waste away spiritually, denying the life that God has offered us here and now. But hear this: foundational to reading the scripture is how we read the scripture, how we approach the Bible itself. You've probably seen the memes or heard the quotes people put online or people put out there saying the same thing, saying simply believing that Jesus is the Son of God or simply believing the Bible is the Word of God does not make us a Christian. When we were children, it was really good for us to be familiar with Bible stories, major Bible stories. They're fun to learn. There's VeggieTales made. There's movies made. They're great to know. It's helpful for us to say things like, invite Jesus into our hearts. It's good for us to memorize particular scriptures that contain samples of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a great way to begin our relationship and our understanding of all that God is doing and all that we're invited to. But hear this, if we're content to know the stories, if we're content to invite Jesus into our hearts, if we're content to memorize a few scriptures after years of seeking Jesus, it's like sitting at the table at Giordano's, right? Or your favorite deep dish pizza place. And sitting there with this giant deep dish pizza in front of you, you can smell it. And you're sitting there with a bag of pepperoni combos, which I'm not hating on combos. I love me some combos. But sitting there with a Giordano's pizza right in front of you and being content to toss back these little pieces of pretzel filled with processed pepperoni stuff. I don't even know how they make. We don't want to know how the sausage is made, right? We're not digging in. We're not cutting into the deep dish pizza right in front of us, and it doesn't make sense. So how do we move forward? How do we grow in the Holy Scriptures the way that Paul encouraged Timothy? How can every part of the whole of Scripture help us by instructing us for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus? So we look briefly at what Jesus says about this. In John chapter 5, okay, the story of the paralytic by the pool. Jesus heals a man who's been sitting there by the pool for 38 years. Happy birthday, wife. So he's been sitting there by the pool for 38 years and waiting for healing. And Jesus heals the man. And the Jewish leaders get really upset because he's breaking the Sabbath. And they approach Jesus, and Jesus defends himself by saying, "My Father is still working, and I also am working." And so this moment stirs up the Jews, and they get so excited against Jesus, they want to kill him. Not just because he's breaking the Sabbath, but because he is calling God his own Father. And so Jesus begins to teach those who are listening, those who are willing to listen to him in that moment. He begins to teach, and he talks about his relationship to God the Father. And verses 39 and 40 of chapter 5 speak to our issue this morning. Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is they who testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have new life." I said earlier, it's important for us to approach the Holy Scriptures with a living theology. So what is a living theology? We know that theology can be the study of God, right? Or a particular system of beliefs about God. But literally, the word is a combination of two things. Theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning word. You're seeing the connection now, some of you, right? Remember how John describes Jesus in his gospel. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. And what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people." Jesus is described here as the Word of God. The Theologos, right? Literally, Jesus is the theology of God. So what does God believe? What is God's theology? It's revealed in Jesus. Through what theology are we supposed to read the entirety of Scripture? Jesus. So even though the Bible contains a library, an entire library of writings written from different contexts, different environments, different situations, to specific people and places and situations, we believe they're all unified in one foundational, unifying quality. They all have the ability to be used by God for the purposes of his redemptive salvation work as they're understood through the lens of Jesus. So I'm going to give you a quick example because I'm a youth pastor at heart, right? I love young people and making things illustrative. So I picked a few images to share with you. Can we go to the first image? This is something I've zoomed really far in, and I'm going to see if you can guess what this image is. If you're one of my kids and you saw my pictures, no cheating. All right. Anybody have any guess of what this is? Just go ahead and say it out.
A beach.
A beach? A place? A frog? Okay. A face. Let's see what this is. This is a dolphin. All right. We were zoomed way in. We've zoomed out to see the whole. Let's go to the next picture real quick. So we're zoomed way in again. This is, anybody have a guess? A hat, a popcorn kernel, ooh, a Rorschach blot. That's a, yeah. Let's zoom out and see what this is. This is a, aww, lion cub. It's Simba. Okay, one more. Let's do one more real quick. Head. This is a little more common, right? You guys saw this one coming. A monkey. Oh, let's zoom out and see what we got here. Hey. All right, let's go back to the image growth. So let's try the same activity with a few scriptures right now, okay? And just because it makes it easier, we're going to use a few passages that were in the lectionary readings from this past week, okay? So just these are scriptures that a lot of Christians in the world were kind of paying attention to and being mindful of this past week. This past week, a lot of us know, was Ash Wednesday, right? The beginning of the season of Lent. It's a day that a lot of people feel like, even if they're not regular churchgoers, they see it happening and they're like, "Man, I should do something religious today." So they may open a prayer book, or they may get, you know, they may drive through, get ashes put on their forehead, or they may even see an image and click like of a Bible verse. And one of the Bible verses from this past week on Wednesday was Isaiah 58, verse 9. It's a verse that says, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" Who wouldn't click like, right? That sounds great. We call out, God says, "Here I am." That sounds encouraging. That sounds promising. It's a reminder, when we cry for help, the Lord will say, "Here I am." But if we zoom out and we invite the living theology of the Holy Spirit. We read the whole passage of Isaiah 58, 6 through 9. It's God saying, "Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" We plead for the Lord's mercy. How many of us are willing to forgive all debts during this season? How many of us will have opportunity to offer food to the hungry or invite the homeless into our homes, to clothe the naked, and to stop pretending that we are better than our brothers and sisters in the poorest sections of our community? It's easy to see why we would prefer to read the Bible as a book rather than to allow the Bible to read our lives. We prefer being the active force. We prefer that the Bible would remain passive. But to read the Bible as Holy Scripture means the Bible becomes an active force. Just as we open the pages, we also open our lives to be shaped and interpreted by the life of Jesus written here. That passage was an easy one to see the connections. Let's try another passage from this past week. On Friday, one of the lectionary passages was Jeremiah 3, verses 19 through 22. Hear the words of God from Jeremiah. Said, "I thought how I would set you among my children and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful heritage of all the nations. And I thought you would call me my father and would not turn from following me. Instead, as a faithless wife leaves her husband, so you have been faithless to me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. A voice on the bare heights is heard, the plaintive weeping of Israel's children, because they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, O faithless children, I will heal your faithlessness." And the response, "Here we come to you, for you are the Lord our God." And once again, this passage, as part of the whole, is useful to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We realize that in Jesus Christ, you and I, in Jesus Christ, we've entered into this story in Jeremiah, offering redemption, where God offers redemption to his people who have turned away from him. The humble weeping of those who realize just how much love God has offered us, even in our less faithful moments. We know we don't deserve it, but God promises us not only a future, but God promises us in his love, hear this love. He promises us to heal our faithlessness even now. And as we approach this passage through the theology of God, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, we turn to Jesus as the source of that reconciliation, of that healing. This is holiness. This is the sanctifying work of God as our hearts are brought to new life in Jesus Christ. This is allowing the Bible to read us and read into us the life and light of Jesus Christ. It's not something that we can make happen, and it's not something that happens automatically just by reading the words. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that comes always to bring new life, which brings us to our third experiment in zooming in and zooming out on Holy Scripture. One of the lectionary passages for this morning, for today, is Luke 4, 1 through 13, which is perfect for what we're looking at this morning. That Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was led by that Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now we have three temptations recorded, and each time both the devil and Jesus quote Scripture. Now the devil, right, Satan, the deceiver, quotes scripture without a living theology. And because of that, he's able to twist it to fit whatever he wants it to mean. He grabs the passages as if a single verse holds the truth and attempts to use them for his own desires. Jesus, however, models exactly what we're talking about. The Word of God is not something for us to exploit for our own purposes or for our own desires. We read Scripture on a regular basis. We become familiar with every aspect of it. Not so that we know what we can gain or how we can win in any given situation or argument or conversation. We familiarize ourselves with Scripture to ensure that our entire being is shaped by the entirety of the Word of God. And we approach it humbly, allowing our lives to be shaped by the heart of God as revealed in Jesus. So the devil brings Jesus these tiny little pieces of scripture taken out of context. And Jesus reminds the devil of the whole grand picture. He brings Jesus little samples of scripture that seem to say exactly what the fleshly desires might want to hear. And Jesus zooms out to shed light on the places that Satan left in the dark on purpose. We live in a world today that loves to dissect the fine print. Our world loves to find the legal loopholes, the one thing that allows us to have or to accomplish that which we really want in our flesh. We live in a world that loves to find inspirational quotes, short, encouraging memes, and tweetable content that will be shared by others. We live in a religious world where polarizing forces between self-righteous legalism and a cheap grace that says, well, everybody has sinned, no one is perfect, so we're all going to be okay. And in the midst of all these things, we're reminded this morning that as followers of Jesus, we are called to grow in our understanding, to grow in our relationship with God through the Holy Scriptures. We're to spend time reading the entirety of the Bible, becoming familiar with the authors, the times, the places, the contexts, the types of literature, but doing so through the lens of a living theology made only possible by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. And as we do so, we're not simply reading the Bible, we are being read by the Word of God. We are being shaped into a new understanding and swallowed up by the whole grand narrative that God has invited us into. It sounds intimidating. And if it does, that is the deceiver telling you that it's something unachievable, telling you that it's something just for the serious, just for the people who've been doing it, just for people born into certain paths or people who have taken certain classes. But the beautiful story of Scripture from the Old Testament through the New Testament is that it goes from the few to the many to all, right? The Old Testament itself, written in an ancient Hebrew language only for those who knew how to read and write at that time, and then out to the New Testament. From the very beginnings of the New Testament, written in Koine Greek, which was a very common Greek. It was a simple Greek that anybody in those times could have understood. It wasn't like Plato and Aristotle, the fancy other kinds of Greek they had out there. It was meant for everybody. And then through the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, now all things are available to all of my children, which includes everyone who's been made a son and daughter of Jesus Christ. It's meant for each of us. And it's not something we accomplish because we have made ourselves able or we deserve it, because we've received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who says, I've come so that you could understand the fullness of God and this love that transforms and brings life. Which brings me to my final foundational point this morning, which is an odd point to have in the midst of Lent. But my encouragement is, stop fasting. Stop fasting. One of the passages from this morning, we talked about Jesus and Satan and the temptations, where Jesus says to the deceiver, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Many Christians, many of us, are content to be fed on Sunday mornings. We might get lucky with a snack during the week, but otherwise we have no hunger pangs to do anything else. And our confession this morning, the things we need to confess, is that often we read the Bible as a book. We read the Bible for what we can get out of it. We read the Bible as a passive thing. And when I eat an entire bag of combos, which has happened before. I'm not proud of it, but it does happen. When I eat an entire bag of combos, I have a full stomach. And I feel nauseated. I feel like I'm full, but I have not received life. Again, not knocking combos. I love them. But we shouldn't have meals that consist only of them. We read the Bible as if it's a passive and inactive and dead book. But the Holy Scriptures are so much more. When we approach them through the Holy Spirit, inviting the Spirit and opening our lives to the words, to the living word of Jesus Christ that is able to breathe new life into us, we give them time, give them priority, offer ourselves to be shaped and encouraged and challenged and revived by them. Jesus is here. Not so that we can win, not so that we can know the things, so we can say the things and impress the people. But as Paul wrote to Timothy, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. We're going to close with a couple of songs in worship. I invite the worship team to come as we declare, you alone our Father, you alone are good. You alone. We're talking about Jesus. We do these things. We read Scripture in a way that is active, that is living, that is transforming, not for our own sakes, but because Jesus is Lord, and he's Lord not just for us, but for the sake of the generations coming after and after and after, and for the areas of the world that don't know these things yet. We can share life with the dead. We can share freedom with the oppressed. As Paul tells to Timothy, stop waiting for something else. You have everything you need. You have been given. It is there. It is in Scripture. The Spirit is yours. Go and go proudly. And no matter what the response is, there will be suffering. There will be persecution. The world may not like what you say, but it's life. Receive it and be transformed by it. Open yourself to the ways that Scripture can bring life and holiness and love. And then go out as the living Word of God, as the presence of Jesus, the theology of God, so that the world may know what God wants the world to know, that is the love and life of God. Let's sing together as we respond in worship this morning.